There is the title track to the latest release from Paul Thorne called It's Never Too Late to Call, and Paul Thorne will be gracing the stage at The Lot in Clinton this Saturday night. But this morning, he is joining us on the Big Red The Morning Show. Welcome to Iron Country, Paul.
Hey, thank you for having me. How's it going in your world?
It is great up here. We're looking so forward to seeing you, Paul, come up here Saturday night to play at The Lot. Now, we just heard the title track from your latest release, It's Never Too Late to Call, and I read that that was recorded in the legendary Sun Studios in Memphis, and from start to finish, it was a seven-year project.
I wouldn't say it was a seven-year project, per se, but it took me 7 years to come up with songs I felt stood up, because for a while there, I got off the track, like a lot of people have, with alcohol.
Oh.
And I had to get myself straight before I could get in the mindset to write songs again. So it was a lot of healing I went through, and I'm feeling 100% now, better than I've ever felt in my life. And I'm very proud of that album and that song, Never Too Late to Call, which was inspired by my sister, Deborah, who passed away. And when I'd be out on the road late at night, I could always call her because she stayed up late. And sometimes I would say, you know, I'm sorry I called at this hour. And she'd say, don't worry, I love you, and it's never too late to call. And that became that song. And there was a lot of, really seems like the better songs you write or that I write have to come with a heavy price, you know. And I lost my sister, but I got a song that seems to resonate with a lot of people that have their own version of that same story.
Well, I know the video is very intense, and it's just you with a guitar, and I could feel what you were going through with that.
Yeah, it was, you know, I did that video with just a guitar because that's the state of mind of the song. The person singing the song is alone, you know, and I wanted it to come across that way and just touch on the beauty of having somebody you can reach out to at. You know, friends are hard to find. You know, I got, you know, they got this limit on Facebook. You can have 5,000 friends. Well, I'm here to tell you, there ain't no such thing as a person that's got 5,000 friends. They shouldn't call it friends. They should call it 5,000 folks I don't know.
5,000 acquaintances.
Yeah.
Well, now the album was released about a year ago in August, right? How many songs of those new songs have worked their way in the set list?
All of them get played in the set list. We have like different sets we do, and each night we'll play one or two or three off the new album. And then, you know, I have a group of fans that like certain songs that I do that I always have to pull out that are, I guess you'd call them fan favorites. I try to mix it up, do the new stuff, but, you know, you can't do a whole show of new stuff because people want to hear stuff they're familiar with, too, you know.
Exactly. Now, Paul, you were raised in Tupelo, Mississippi, born in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And for those that don't know, Tupelo, Mississippi is a hotspot for blues, rock, and country music. What was it like growing up with all those musical influences around you?
Well, my dad's a Pentecostal preacher, so I grew up singing in church. And I live in Tupelo, Mississippi, where also is the birthplace of Elvis Presley. And a lot of the churches I went to growing up are literally some of the same churches that Elvis attended. And so I got a real good schooling on music from playing in church was actually my biggest influence because we had two types of churches that we attended growing up. We had the churches where the white people attended. And they had churches where the black people attended. But we always went to each other's churches because we were an all-inclusive bunch of people. And at the black churches, I learned about a sort of rhythm and blues type gospel. It's gospel, but it sounds like rhythm and blues. And then you go to the white churches and you hear like the bluegrass, country western style. And so I got a really good schooling on the different types of music, which kind of melded together and made my music what it is. And my music it's not gospel music, it's secular music, but I always try to put a little light in there somewhere, you know. Just like the song we were talking about, Never Too Late to Call. What a nice thing to know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a friend that you can rely on, that's something special, and it's a lot more rare than people think, you know.
Exactly.
You don't really know who your friends are until trouble arises.
Amen to that. That is so true. You know, over the years, you've toured with acts like Huey Lewis in the News, John Prine, Bonnie Raitt, Jerry Jeff Walker, Toby Keith, which is pretty wide spectrum of music. Is there any one thing that you find in common with all the audiences of all those acts when you're playing a show with them?
Yeah, they're pretty much, well, I'm talking about an adult audience when I say this. The younger audience is a whole different thing, but an older audience, it seems like, you know, when I say older, I mean like middle age all the way up to old people. They seem to come to actually listen to the show. They come and they sit down and they want to eat their popcorn and, you know, and sit there and watch the show and not have to do anything and be comfortable. And that I can thrive in any environment that with people that are middle-aged and older, you know, because they just they're actually interested in the show. Whereas, you know, you go to a stadium show. There's nothing, and God bless anybody who can fill a stadium. I'm happy for them. But the fun that lacks in one of those is people are yelling and screaming through your whole set, and they're not even really listening. They're just caught up in the euphoria of their iPhones, you know, and holding them up and documenting the moment rather than enjoying the experience, you know. And but all those artists that you named, I was able to do well in front of that audience because I'm not just a singer. I'm an entertainer as well, and there is a difference. You know, there's people who can sing great, but they between songs maybe they can't think of anything to say or they're just real timid. But growing up the son of a minister, I've been speaking to people, you know, on a stage my whole life, and I've developed this. You know, I've developed a skill set that's really worked for me, and it works. It works in front of John Prine's audience, and it works in front of Huey Lewis's audience. It works in front of Toby Keith's audience. It just works because it's universal, and everybody can relate to the stuff I'm singing about. My songs are real simple, like, you know, Never Too Late to Call, and, you know, it's real simple songs that I like to think that has a good meaning to them.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I also want to talk to you about is reading up in your bio, and I had to do a double take when I saw it. It said that you fought Roberto Duran. Tell me how that happened. What's it like fighting a legend?
Well, during my life, there was a period where I was actually a professional boxer, and at one time I was a top 10 contender, and I was like 29 in the world at one time as a middleweight, and I won a lot of fights and developed a good record and got in the rankings. And when I got to a certain level, I got the opportunity to fight Roberto Duran. It was a televised fight. It was in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I went down there and I fought Duran, and, you know, I gave it my best. But at the end of the day, you know, after I hung with him for six rounds, at the end of the sixth round, when I sat on my stool, the doctor came in the corner and stopped the fight between the sixth and the seventh because of this horrific cut I had that was keeping me from being able to see. And so I got stopped on a TKO at the end of the sixth, and but the good news is I got some punches in, and I busted Duran's eye open, and I'm real happy about that. And me and Roberto Duran actually went to the hospital in the same ambulance. We were both cut up. And even though I lost the fight, it was a great memory for me, and it's something that I can say that I did in my life that a lot of people can't say. And the question I get asked the most often about Duran is, you know, did he hit hard? Well, yeah, he hit hard. I mean, he's Roberto Duran, but there's guys in a bar that can hit hard. That's not an uncommon thing. What made him special was not the punching power. It was his ability, this insane ability he had to not get hit. Mm. Man, trying to hit Roberto Duran was like trying to catch a greased pig. I mean, it was incredible. It was like that movie, The Matrix, where they're like dodging bullets and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like that, but it was real. I mean, when I was fighting him, I noticed he didn't look in my face. He looked at my chest, and if my shoulder just slightly moved, he knew I was going to throw a certain punch. And by the time the punch got out there, he had already moved and made me miss. And he was a defensive genius. And that people don't, they call him Hands of Stone, and he was, but his defense was, I mean, I fought a lot of good fighters, but when I went in there with him, I really got an understanding of what greatness is. And the other thing that stuck out about him to me, he had that quality that any great athlete has, whether it's a football player like Tom Brady or Tiger Woods golf player. All the great ones have one thing in common, and that is they are able to completely relax in a high-pressure situation. And
wow.
That's what separates the good from the great. I mean, I was good. I was very good. But I didn't have that little extra something that somebody like Durant has. And to this day, you know, I've got Roberto Duran T-shirts, and I wear them all the time. And people say, why, Paul, why'd you wear that shirt? He whooped you. And I say, well, and I just look at him, I say, well, I say, if you can whoop me, I'll wear your shirt.
That's awesome. Well, Paul, we are really looking forward to your show coming up this Saturday night at The Lot here in Clinton. Tickets are available at Boxcars or at Ticketsauce.com or by phone at 608-676-1149. Now, Paul, for the music lover who's going to check out the show and has never seen you live, what can they expect coming up Saturday night?
Well, if you've never seen me at all, you know, you're going to hear some good songs. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry a little bit. And when the show's over, I always go out in the front like my dad would do when he was preaching, go out in the foyer, and I shake hands with people, and I thank them for coming. And it's going to be a fun night, and everybody's invited. It's all-inclusive. All the fun we're going to have is in good taste, and I don't make fun of people, but I do make fun of myself. And that's when it's the funniest, is when you make fun of yourself.
All right.
And we're going to have a ball. We're going to have a ball.
It sounds like fun. I had that real quick. Somebody asked me if you're going to play Hammer and Nail.
I hadn't looked that far ahead yet.
Well, the song we're going to end the interview with is one of my favorites, and it is now our Crossroads Song of the Day. It's called I Don't Like Half the Folks I Love. Tell us a little bit about that tune.
True. What's that?
I said tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, just, you know, a lot of times your relatives are your relatives, and that might be the only reason you get with them once a year at Christmas, because maybe that's about all you can stand, you know, because, you know, you go to your family Christmas, you have a meal together, and then you go up, you go in the living room and open up your $20 Christmas present, and then you get out of there as quick as you possibly can, because, you know, it is very common to not get along with your family members, and you know, and you even have friends, you love them, but they're hard to be around. You know what I mean?
Amen to that. All right.
That's what that's about.
Excellent. Well, we're going to spin that one as our Crossroads Song of the Day. And, Paul Thorne, you are always welcome here on Iron Country.
Thank you. Good luck with your show, and good luck with everything.